Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Dodger fans, hope you're having a nice afternoon. And if you're following on the live stream, thank you so much. You are listening to the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are presented by Take Pick and Fansided. This is Kevin Klein speaking here on a Wednesday afternoon, August 28th. And your Los Angeles Dodgers are 78-54 as they only hold a three-game lead in the NL West with the Arizona Diamondbacks and San Diego Padres, as neither of those two teams seem to fade away. But there's 30 games left, and the Dodgers are in the midst of a series right now with the Baltimore Orioles. And I'm going to phrase it this way, Jake. This week in its entirety might be the most important week for the Dodgers this season, because after Baltimore, they go to Arizona for four games to face the D-backs. And who knows where that series may take us. The Dodgers could find themselves out of first place after that series, or they might be able to put the Diamondbacks away. So we'll see what happens, but it's a big series.
It is a big series, and the Diamondbacks are hot right now, so the Dodgers better bring it. And they're getting tested right now against the Orioles. You know, this is a potential World Series matchup if we want to go that far. So this is going to be a real test for the Dodgers to see kind of where they're at in terms of how they face up against playoff competition.
I got no confirmation if Christian Walker will play in this series. He's killed the Dodgers, as we all know. Ketel Marte has been on the IL. There's a slight possibility he could be activated, I think, in the middle of that series, but I can't quite confirm that as well. But despite those two injuries, those are like their two best hitters. Jake McCarthy has stepped it up. Yohani Suarez has been a hot hitter for the Diamondbacks, and Corbin Carroll has really turned it around as well in the second half. And then their pitching got healthy. Merrill Kelly's throwing for them again. Equit, who is officially known as Eduardo Rodriguez, has been making starts for the Diamondbacks. They've got Zach Gallen, Brandon Pfaadt, and I think Ryan Nelson, a pretty strong rotation and a decent bullpen. But they're the best team since the All-Star break. They're 26-8 as we talk, and it looks like they're going to for sure make the playoffs. And potentially what we're looking at with this Dodgers Diamondbacks matchup, maybe not only will it potentially decide the division, but this could be the NLDS matchup.
It very well could be. And it's something that has been looming and has kind of scared me following this team, given how the past two postseasons the Dodgers have been knocked out by an NL West opponent. So this is huge. And none of this is giving me any confidence because, look, they could dominate the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks could dominate the Dodgers in this upcoming series. Certainly the Padres have the season series already locked up. I believe the Diamondbacks as well. So it could mean everything and it could mean nothing, because even if you go back to 2022, Dodgers dominated the Padres in the regular season. And then when it got time for the postseason, all changed. So none of what happens in the regular season is necessarily going to translate to the postseason, but it is nice. again, postseason is just, you know, we'll just have to wait and see, unfortunately.
Totally. Hit that like button if you haven't yet for us. Please hit that subscribe button if you're new following along the show. We really appreciate you guys being regulars here. Last night's game was quite a stinker. This was probably a matchup the Dodgers should have won. They were facing a pretty weak starting pitcher. And despite all that, they only mustered two runs and they lost to the Baltimore Orioles in the first game of the series, 3-2. I mean, the only highlights really was Jack Flaherty looked good once again for the Dodgers. Was able to go six innings, gave up three runs, had like five strikeouts. The only thing that's kind of been plaguing Flaherty, I've noticed, is the long ball. He tends to give up 1-2 home runs every time out. But other than that, he's been pretty consistent, able to pitch fairly deep, an innings eater, and has really good swing and miss stuff. I love the secondary pitches that Flaherty throws for the Dodgers. As long as the other guys are healthy, which we'll get into, I'm good with Flaherty starting a game three. He looks like he has the presence and the attitude to go out there. This guy looks like a winner, so I'm not too concerned. I've been happy with the acquisition so thus far. But my God, the offense was just atrocious last night.
It is. And I see that one of our listeners, Alfonso Lucio, is commenting, offense approach is horrible. Get used to it, folks. This is this offense. This is how they do business. They go for the home run, and if they don't hit it, they're likely not going to score runs. This team doesn't manufacture runs. They don't really steal that many bases. They don't bunt. They don't, you know, wreak havoc on the bases. And so this is just what this offense is. Unfortunately, it's not going to change. I've had to come to accept it, even though it infuriates me, because I feel like there are other teams out there that have sort of more of a old school baseball strategy where it's scoring runs by means of any way to scratch runs across. And that's just not this team. And so just got to hope that this team is hot when October comes around. And if it isn't, we're going home early. So that's just kind of the reality of it right now. And it's kind of interesting when you look at the standings too, because the Dodgers are right now going into today are tied for the best record in baseball, which is kind of crazy when you consider all the injuries that this team has had. So it is a little misleading too, because just the feeling that I have, and I don't know if you have the same feeling, Kevin, but does it feel like we're the best team in baseball? Because I've not felt that really at any point this season, despite the record.
I felt like there's really been no best team in baseball this year. Like 2016, it felt like it was the Cubs year. 2018 kind of felt like it was going to be the Red Sox year. 2020 felt like the Dodgers year. But this year, I don't feel like there's been any clear front runner. The Phillies have fallen off. The Atlanta Braves are good, but they're decimated by injuries. Baltimore and the Yankees are both battling it out in the American League, but I don't feel like neither of them are a leap tier above the Dodgers. So, despite us not feeling like the most flashiest 78-win team, we are in the top tier, and it might just be one of those years where it boils down to health, to be honest. I don't think there's any best team on paper right now.
And you said that Flaherty is, you know, you'd be comfortable with him being a number three starter. Well, right now he's the number one starter. So because we don't have Glasnow, we know Yamamoto's coming back, but we don't know what we're going to get with him, if he's going to be healthy. So again, we're going into the postseason looking like kind of the same we've looked previous years, where the starting pitching is just in shambles all the time. And we're scratching and clawing to try and find other starting pitching out there. You can make the argument between Flaherty and Gavin Stone, because Gavin Stone, after having a few down outings in a row, has really stepped it up recently and has looked really good. And I'm confident with him starting a playoff game. So those are the only two starters right now that I really have confidence in starting a playoff game. I don't really have confidence in Kershaw, even though he's looked good, but he always looks good in the regular season. So it is, and Walker Buehler hasn't looked great. I mean, you know, it's he's going tonight against Corbin Burns. I'm worried about that game. And you know, they really did need to win game one of this Orioles series if they really wanted a shot to win the overall series, because you had to figure that this Burns game was going to maybe not go our way. And now that we lost game one,
it doesn't look great for game two. And then, you know, we're looking at surviving and trying to not get swept at home.
This isn't the first time someone in the chat said I looked like Pau Gasol, but
it's pretty fucking funny.
Craig's on it.
I see
So I want to go back. So I'll go back to the first game and then talk about tonight's game, because I feel like this is a big game for a couple reasons. But offense was just atrocious once again with runners in scoring position, 1-for-8. They've been kind of a sleepy offense since the All-Star break. They're hitting .244 as a team, which is fairly disappointing. All season long, they've been very underwhelming with runners in scoring position, hitting .255. So like what Jake was talking about earlier, the approach on offense just doesn't feel it. And if there is a collapse in the postseason, they've got to really shake up this coaching staff, because they have the players on paper, but so many of these guys just don't seem to get it done. We have opportunities where a guy like Tommy Edman triples, Miguel Rojas drives him in, feels like it's set up for a big inning, nothing after that. We've got first and second, nobody out, can't score. I'm just getting so frustrated. Mookie Betts will steal a bag. No one's able to drive him home.
Well, yeah, there was that moment, and I forget which inning it was, but it was first and second, nobody out, with Ohtani, Betts, and Teoscar Hernandez coming up, and nothing happened.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think Tio was able to drive in any runners. But so we'll talk about the injuries, but since he didn't play last night, and we'll see if he's in the lineup today, some people will be most concerned about Glasnow. Maybe others are still worried about Yamamoto. For me, the biggest injury that I'm scared about right now is Freddie Freeman. He doesn't take days off ever. So the fact that he was out of the lineup on Tuesday with this fractured finger for Freeman, every time the Dodgers try to sell us an injury, I'm no longer buying that bullshit. The fact that they're trying to play this like it's nothing big. Like, I've had a fracture in my foot before. I can only imagine how painful a fracture in your finger is. It's pretty clear that Freeman is off, and I think he's like 3-for-26 or 3-for-something since the injury. So it's clearly affecting him as well. And this is a big bat that the Dodgers don't have currently healthy.
Yeah. And what would give you the indication that the Dodgers wouldn't be forthright about an injury, Kevin? I can't figure it out. I don't trust anything they ever say about any of these players. We get duped time and time again, where players, they'll tell you not to worry about a player like Glasnow, and then now it's a much slower progression of him coming back, and who the hell knows if he's going to be even available down the stretch or in the postseason. So yeah, losing Freddie Freeman though would be catastrophic for this team. He is the most consistent hitter in this lineup that we have. And he is the one guy that actually has the correct approach at the plate versus anybody else in this lineup. He shortens up. He goes the other way. He is able to just use that bat as a tool rather than something that, you know, he just uses to hit home runs. And so for him not to be 100% healthy in and out of the lineup, that's really tough. The good news is that this team is at the top of the division. And yes, they have the Diamondbacks and the Padres breathing down their necks, but this team can survive the rest of the season with limited playing time from Freddie Freeman in order for him to get healthy. I mean, I just hope that they are taking the precautions necessary, because I believe whether this team wins the division or not, they're going to make the playoffs. And so when they make the playoffs, they better have Freddie Freeman available. And I would hate for them to kind of push him more than they really need to at this point.
Okay. So this is Walker Buehler going against Corbin Burnes tonight. On paper, it looks like a super lopsided matchup right now. You've got Buehler with an ERA over 6, Burnes with an ERA in the low 3s. Believe it or not, the Dodgers have had success against Corbin Burnes in the past, but that doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because Corbin Burnes is still a really good pitcher. We've seen what Walker Buehler has looked like for the Dodgers this season. We're about to hit September after this outing for Walker Buehler. Is this the make or break game for Buehler, in your opinion?
I mean, make or break in terms of what? Like, whether
everything.
whether he's, you know, are we talking make or break in terms of whether he can pitch a playoff game or whether
pitch in general?
Yeah, I don't know. I was at his last start, I think, or one of his last starts, and he was battling and he looked not great. And he was hit around quite a bit. He was in and out of trouble. He's having problems just putting guys away. And that's really concerning because for him, he is a strikeout pitcher. He is an overpowering presence on the mound. And I don't believe he's at the point in his career where he has to, you know, kind of be a little bit more like Kershaw, a little craftier, a little more pinpoint accuracy, like Greg Maddux or a Tom Glavine type of pitcher. I still feel like he's trying to be that overpowering pitcher that we remember. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's make or break because I can't see him just going out there and pitching like six shutout innings all of a sudden. I mean, I feel like it's going to be a gradual build up to something like that because we haven't really seen anything close to that this season for him. So it is, I don't know about make or break, but it's certainly something where you're, like I said, you know, this is a measuring stick for the Dodgers against these top tier teams. If he's able to carve up the Orioles, that would give me at least a little bit of confidence going forward.
It's baseball, so you never know what's going to happen. Maybe Walker Buehler just goes out there and shoves tonight. It's not the first time the underdog has just completely upset a powering force, but I see it as this way. I think ideally a successful start for Buehler tonight is if he's able to go five innings and limit the damage to three runs, maybe even four runs. I'll be generous. But if he goes out there and he pitches like three innings, gives up six or seven runs and just doesn't look good, I think the Dodgers have to DFA him. I'm gonna leave
really?
It as simple as that.
DFA him?
Yeah. If he gets shelled out there, we are in way too many close games at this point. And I'm pretty sure unless you skip his next spot in the rotation for his turn, he'd be in Arizona. And if he looks like he's looked the last few starts and he's awful tonight, then you just cut bait. He's a free agent at the end of the year. It's not like he's going to go to a team at this point in the season and all of a sudden be an impact pitcher. You would have to just cut the cord there. So hopefully we don't cross that bridge and he looks pretty solid tonight.
I assume is he out of options?
Oh yeah. He's a true veteran at this point.
Okay. Well, then maybe a phantom IL. I just don't see them cutting him. I don't see that, but I mean, stranger things have happened. I do want to correct myself though, because I did not even think that this was possible this season, but Buehler did have one outing where he pitched six scoreless innings against the Reds on May 18th. But every other outing has been at least three runs or more. And
yeah,
he's not, and that was the only start where, oh no, he didn't give up a home run last time. So there's only been two starts this season where he hasn't given up a home run. So it's not been pretty for him.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens, but that's where I stand right now. If he just looks terrible tonight, that has to be his last start as a Dodger for the season. Call up Landon Knack, call up Robleski, find someone, a solution to give you spot starts in this innings, because so far what Walker Buehler has done for the Dodgers is really taxed his bullpen. Cause he's, for the most part, been unable to pitch deep in games. And there was so much hype for him entering the season, them holding him back because they wanted him to be more fresh for this September and October postseason run chase. And we just haven't gotten that out of Walker Buehler so far. He's had a very disappointing season. So I'm hoping that he turns it around tonight. And this is the start of something good. But you look at every other Dodger starter in the rotation right now, including Bobby Miller, who actually looked pretty decent in his most recent outing against the Tampa Bay Rays. I think he went six innings, which was big for Bobby Miller, had nine strikeouts and gave up three runs. At this point, even Bobby Miller looks like there's more hope for him than Walker Buehler, but that's part of baseball. Maybe that changes tonight. Hopefully it changes.
Yeah, hopefully it does change. And yeah, he pitched, he had a quality start last time out. So, I mean, that's something, but he's been just as bad, if not worse, than Buehler this year. So I don't know. I just don't have a lot of confidence in this team. I really don't. like I said at the trade deadline, and I know I keep hammering this home, but I feel like we rested a little bit too much on our laurels and we're banking on too many things to go right. And it feels like too many things are, we're waiting on too many variables to go right for us. And the odds of all of those coming together at once are very slim. At least we get, you know, Muncy and Mookie back, which has been really nice to have them back in the lineup. Tommy Edman has looked really good. So the offense, I mean, you know, we have to see about Freddie Freeman, but generally speaking, the offense, if healthy, is a really high powered offense and can put up a lot of runs on any given night. But the pitching staff, specifically the starting rotation, I have literally zero confidence that we're going to have three starters for the postseason, at least three that we're like 100% confident in going into a division series.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So you wanted to talk about Tyler Glasnow?
The only thing I wanted to say about Tyler Glasnow, and I feel like at the beginning of this season when we talked about the trade, when the Dodgers made the trade and then they signed him to an extension, I feel like I got a lot of crap from you, Kevin, about, you know, trashing that trade. And I think it was the trashing was warranted and then it was unwarranted, because I never felt like getting a pitcher like Glasnow was a bad idea if he was healthy. But the truth is that was the only hangup I had to getting a guy like that. It's like, yeah, he's coming off a fairly healthy season, and in a season where he pitched the most innings he's ever pitched in his career. I just was like, a pitcher like that is injury prone every single year. I just, and with this Dodgers medical staff, which who the hell knows what goes on behind closed doors, but every year we're getting three or four guys with Tommy John surgery, it feels. I just didn't have any confidence that he was going to be able to hold up the whole year. And, you know, I hated to be right about that, but that's what's happened. He is just not a healthy enough pitcher to be there when you need him. And I'm very worried, because he went out with what they said was a minor injury. And now, of course, as it always happens, they're like, oh, actually, it's a lot slower of a return. And who the hell knows if he's going to be ready for the playoffs? It's just, you know, it's just so, it's so frustrating. And I know that that Dodgers fans are not alone in this, but man, I mean, the amount of injured starting pitching we've had over the last 3 to 4 seasons has been abysmal.
Yeah, I mean, it's annoying how they tell us it's a minor injury as usual. He'll miss the bare minimum. And now they're telling us with Tyler Glasnow that it hasn't gotten worse, but somehow it hasn't gotten better. So we're in the same situation. And he's going to need to make one rehab start, apparently, and they're worried he won't be stretched out. And by the time the postseason rolls around, he might only be able to go 4 innings or 5 innings, because he won't be fully stretched out for the Dodgers. But I still don't understand why there's reason to bash the trade, because ultimately he still leads all the Dodger starters in WAR. He leads all the Dodger starters in innings pitched. He definitely leads all the Dodger starters in strikeouts. He was an all-star this season. He, for the most part, when he was on the mound, was able to go 6 to 7 innings very consistently. And I can't fault the Dodgers for wanting to keep his innings down. And as long as he pitches in the postseason, I don't care if he's out for the rest of this regular season. Just give me what we saw from Tyler Glasnow pre this second IL stint, and I'm happy. It's not like Ryan Pepiot has done better than Tyler Glasnow in Tampa Bay. I mean, he's got...
It's not about that. I mean, like, you just listed all of the things that he's done well this year, and I can't dispute any of that because he has been the ace of the staff. I mean, unequivocally, the ace of the staff all year. But that's not the problem, you know? The problem is availability. And like you said, if he's available for the playoffs, great. We fucking need it. But that's a big if right now. So that's where I'm at. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have made the trade, but what I am saying is that was my hang up about it.
Yeah, I mean, the big three on the market at that time were Corbin Burns, who was always my number one, but it just seemed like the Dodgers didn't want to pay the Dodgers tax to acquire a one-year Scott Boras client. Number two was Dylan Cease, who's been pretty good for the Padres, and the thing that Cease has got going for him is durability. He's made like all 28 starts this year and potentially leads baseball in innings pitched. I'd have to look that up to confirm, but that guy is a workhorse, and Cease versus Glasnow, I don't know who's better. It would be really nitpicky, but I guess you can argue either way. And then Glasnow was the other guy available. But, I mean, they gave Yamamoto $325 million, and we've gotten a whopping 14 starts out of Yamamoto. So I don't know if it's a Glasnow problem or a Major League Baseball problem or just a Dodgers problem, but I bet you can't even name me 10 starters who have pitched the entire season.
You can't. I mean, shit.
And that's just the problem with baseball. It's just, for some reason, no one can stay healthy. Some people say it's the pitch clock. There's certainly some evidence that suggests that. Some say pitchers just throw too hard, and that definitely seems like a strong cause. It just sucks. And the Dodgers are in a freaking situation once again where there's so many question marks with their starting rotation, no matter how much money they spend, no matter how they try to address it, and it sucks. So we'll see what happens. That's why I'm kind of with Jake. I don't feel like we're a lock to win the World Series by any means, because there's just way too many question marks with this pitching staff. But if healthy, then yeah, I feel really good about us. And speaking of postseason starters, I'm back on the Gavin Stone train. He needs to be starting in postseason games over Clayton Kershaw. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah. I mean, as long as we have, three healthy enough starters, I would love to stay away from Kershaw in the postseason, but we may not have a choice. What do you think?
Healthy, I go Glasnow game one, Yamamoto or Flaherty game two, and then the other is game three. And hopefully Gavin Stone is game four. I did not realize how bad Clayton Kershaw's fastball was this season until I looked at it. Opponents are hitting over 400 against Clayton Kershaw's fastball. How can you feel good about any guy in October that's throwing a four-seam fastball that's 88, 89 miles per hour, and the batter has a 400 batting average success rate against it? Not only that, his whiff rate of swings and misses is like 8%. So for the most part, all Kershaw's fastballs are getting put in play, and it's over 400. That's not a recipe for success by any means. And he looked pretty shitty against the Tampa Bay Rays, who are not a good offense by any stretch. And then the next day, Gavin Stone goes out there and shuts them down. And Gavin Stone, over his last three starts, has been sensational. The Dodgers are 3-0 in those starts. Stone has an 0.95 ERA, 19 innings pitched, only two earned runs, 23 strikeouts, and a 0.61, 0.6316 whip. So Gavin Stone has figured it out once again.
Yeah, but unfortunately, right now it's Flaherty, Stone, and maybe Kershaw, or if you want to bring up like a Landon Knack or someone like that. But it's bleak right now. I've been fooled enough times with this Dodgers medical staff / organization to not think that Glasnow and Yamamoto are going to be there. I will believe that when I see it. And when I see their names, you know, posted, you know, first of all, on the postseason roster, that's the first thing. But once I see their name in the lineup, I'm not going to bank on them being there. That's just how I feel. I, you know, you can call me cynical if you want or whatever, doom and gloom. I've kind of had that demeanor pretty much all season with this because I'm just not confident in the starting pitching being healthy. And then also the offense scoring runs.
Doom underscore Sal throwing out a statistic that there are 173 pitchers this year who are out or back from arm injuries, 75 elbow injuries, 34 shoulder injuries, 19 forearm injuries, and 6 oblique injuries. It's a lot of injuries. And the Dodgers are definitely a victim of that. They lead baseball in injury war by a mile. They've just
been
burned.
Are all 173 of those pitchers on the Dodgers roster? Because it feels like it.
All right. So if you haven't hit that like button, please do so. And we'll take some questions too. If you want to drop any questions you have for us in the chat, always happy to answer whatever you guys have on your mind. But is it time to talk about Will Smith?
Let's do it.
I am so disappointed and disgusted by this performance that Will Smith has given us in the second half. Yeah, he's been a bottom five hitter. The Dodgers gave this guy a 10-year contract, and so far it's looking like a big mistake because Will Smith's hitting a whopping 156 since the All-Star break, a 487 OPS after the All-Star break. I mean, a 487 OPS. Are you kidding me, Will Smith? 41 WRC+. He just has one home run, 8 RBIs, and 29 strikeouts across 112 plate appearances and just 11 walks. And last night I hear, he got screwed by the umpire. No, he didn't. Two of the three called strikes were actually strikes. There was one egregious pitch that was definitely outside the zone, and that should have been called a ball, but it was called a strike. But the other two pitches that he took for strikes, they were strikes. They touched the strike zone. He should have swung on that 3-2 or 2-2 count, whatever it was. Instead, he took it like a chump for strike three, killed the momentum in the inning. And I mean, I don't know what's happened to this guy. I don't know if he's injured. I don't know if he just doesn't have a feel for the moment right now. But Will Smith has been awful, and the Dodgers really need to consider moving him to the 8 or even the 9 hole because he's been that bad.
If you'd have told me at the beginning of the season that Gavin Lux would move up in the lineup ahead of Will Smith, I would have said you're absolutely out of your mind. But that's what's happened. Because Gavin Lux, for the majority of the season, has been kind of lost at the plate. In the second half, he's been kind of putting it together and carrying this offense on a lot of these nights, whereas Will Smith has kind of gone the other direction. Now, I will say that, you know, despite his offensive woes, he is throwing out runners at a clip that he's never done so before. So there is a positive there, but we need his bat. I mean, you know, we're not paying him. We're not paying him at all. But the Dodgers are not paying him to hit under 200 and not drive in any runs, because that's what we need him to do, especially with Freddie Freeman in this finger thing. Max Muncy coming back. He's looked pretty good. I mean, power wise for Max Muncy, and Mookie Betts coming back from injury. We really need Will Smith to step it up here. And he's not been doing that. But I am a believer in Will Smith. I've always been a believer in him. And I think that he's just going through a slump. And that's it. I don't know if there's anything else at play. There could be, you know, an injury nobody's talking about. It could be the case that he's catching too many games. You know, with Austin Barnes being a terrible hitter, maybe Will Smith is having to play more games than him. I'm not sure. I haven't crunched the numbers on that. But what he's doing at the plate right now is not what the Dodgers need. I can only hope that, you know, he can have a hot September leading into October, and we can get the Will Smith of old. But yeah, I'm not liking what I'm seeing from him, but given his overall resume and rap sheet, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, at least right now, because he has proven that he is a really good hitter and that he is a clutch hitter. He's been clutch in the postseason at times. So I'm just, you know, hoping that this is just a slump and not, you know, an indication of something even worse, which is, you know, did we make a mistake with this contract? I'm not there yet.
He seems like one of the few hitters that will always benefit from that time off when the wild card round is going on to the NLDS, because he doesn't have to play for a week and then he's able to be more fresh. But he pulls this act every season. He fades in the second half. This season, for the most part, he had an exceptional March and April. And then after that, he's pretty much hit 200 every month. So if he didn't have that insane start to the season, this would be a disastrous season for Will Smith. And he is, without a doubt, the best at throwing runners out. That is his number one skill set. He's the best in all of baseball. He will catch you stealing. He's been phenomenal at that. But other than that, at the catching position, he's actually been pretty bad. He now has a negative -4 defensive run save. He is maybe a bottom -5 framer. He's been awful at framing pitches all season this year. And in terms of blocking balls and preventing balls from turning into wild pitches, he's also been awful at that as well. And especially in the last month or so, I've seen a lot of balls that he should have blocked get past him and they result in wild pitches. And then the runner scores as a consequence. So I don't know if he's going to last 10 years as a catcher for the Dodgers. I highly doubt it. I think by year 4, he'll be the Dodgers' first baseman and kind of have the Joe Mauer route, because his bat is too valuable to be a lousy catcher. And I don't see it optimal at all for this team. I don't care if he's able to throw runners out. There's so many other aspects to baseball. And if he's going to be a 156 hitter because he's tired from catching, then in 3 years you explore other routes and you move him to the infield and you find someone else to catch for this team.
It's tough because you can't get him off his feet, you know, as a designated hitter, because Ohtani blocks that for the rest of time. So I don't really know what you do with him unless you have some sort of competent backup catcher that you can pencil in there and the lineup doesn't take a massive nosedive with that guy in there. So I don't really know what you do, but I don't feel like I'm at the point where I'm ready to say that this was a bust. I mean, this is year one post announcement of the contract. So, and Andy was an all-star in the first half. So, you know, I just feel like there is room for, you know, giving him a little bit of grace, and that's what I'm going to do with him until I see otherwise. If this is a growing trend, I mean, obviously you got to look at the postseason, right, and see who steps up and who doesn't. I mean, it's easy to say that, you know, over the past few postseasons, you know, Mookie Betts has been atrocious. Yes, he has. He hasn't gotten a hit. But, you know, it's not like everybody else is tearing it up and he's the only one. So you got to have to kind of look at what, you know, the rest of the team is doing. And if the rest of the team isn't hitting, then you can't really put it all on Will Smith. But if Will Smith is coming up with crucial situations and he's not performing, and maybe the rest of the guys are setting the table and he's the kind of the black hole in this lineup, then maybe it's time for that conversation. But the one guy that I've been kind of keeping tabs on, and I don't really know what their plan is for him yet, but Dalton Rushing has been absolutely crushing it in AAA. In 19 games, he's hitting .343 with over 1,000 OPS. He has 5 home runs, 15 RBIs. I don't know if I really hope he's a September call-up, because I'd like to see what he's made of at the major league level, just to see if maybe we can sneak in another bat in there for the postseason run. What do you think about that?
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's actually something I was going to cover. So Jason Hayward was DFA'd. I don't know why people are crying about that. He wasn't good for the Dodgers. Chris Taylor now gets the opportunity. He hasn't looked good since being activated off the IL. To his credit, he's not striking out at an alarming rate yet, and he's making contact. But you just mentioned Dalton rushing, and he's dominating in AAA right now. 343 hitter, 458 on base, 627 slugging with 5 home runs and 15 RBIs. Why wait? Add him to the roster September 1st when you can expand it to the extra bat. DFA whoever, I don't give a shit. The way Dalton rushing is hitting right now, add him as a bench player, give him some spot starts here and there. I feel like what you're going to get from Dalton rushing most likely will be better than Chris Taylor anyways. So it's a bench for a reason. You need guys that you feel confident in. And I don't think Dalton rushing could fire his way into being into the starting lineup on a regular basis. But I feel like, wasn't it in 2016, Kyle Schwarber was a pinch hitter for the Cubs and came off the bench a lot. And he actually had some big moments and he didn't even play the whole season. So I think he was coming off an ACL. Maybe Dalton rushing could be that for the Dodgers. He's playing in left field. He doesn't have to be a catcher. I'm all for it. I think the Dodgers need to take some risks here, and betting on Dalton rushing seems like a pretty good risk to take.
I haven't seen any updates on Austin Barnes, but I assume they're expecting him to come back at some point, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be activated whenever his IL stint is finalized.
Because right now they have, you know, Hunter Bucci on the roster.
But you bring up a good point. Austin Barnes is like a wasted roster space.
He really is.
What if you give that spot to Dalton rushing over Austin Barnes, and then you have an emergency catcher and a pinch hitter?
Yeah. I mean, I would do it. I don't think that they're going to, because that would be a little too outside the box. And I think that there's a certain sense of Austin Barnes being in the clubhouse and in working with this pitching staff that they love, because the production at the plate and the production behind the plate of him just can't throw any. He's the worst arm and he can't throw anybody out. I just don't see what his value is other than, I guess, the pitchers like him and he's a good clubhouse guy. But I mean, I think they got to figure out how to get as much offense as humanly possible, given what we've already said about the starting pitching. Because the Dodgers are going to need to outscore teams. With the way that this starting pitching is lining up, that's kind of needs to be their strategy. So if they can squeeze a little bit of offense here, a little bit of offense there, I think they got to try to do everything they can. And I agree with you. I think Austin Barnes is a wasted roster spot at this point.
Send your questions in the chat. We got one from UCLA Lakers. We actually haven't had a lot of questions today, so I'm pretty surprised. If you guys have Dodger questions, drop them below. But so do you guys not feel good about Yamamoto's progress? Well, he's making a rehab start tonight. He's supposed to throw 2 innings in AAA. I wouldn't say I don't feel good. I just want to see him make some major league starts before the postseason, because it's kind of important to see how his stuff looks, or else we're going to have another Kershaw or Gonsolin situation where they rush a guy back and he's not fully healthy and then he gets lit up in October. So
it's not that I don't feel good about his progress. It's that I just don't have any confidence in it, because I don't have a reference point of being confident that the Dodgers are making the right decisions in terms of evaluating how ready he is.
All right. So Evan Phillips has struggled in the second half. He has an ERA over 5. Daniel Hudson struggled in the second half. He has an ERA over 5. Joe Kelly nearly has an ERA over 5.
And Joe Kelly, can we please? I'm so done with Joe Kelly. Because he could be absolutely lights out in the postseason, and then everyone's going to be like, you idiot. But like, it's so feast or famine with him. It's just maddening.
My last straw with Joe Kelly came in that Tampa Bay Rays loss, where the Dodgers with Kershaw, they were leading 7-5 at one point. Kopech gave up a run, Phillips gave up a run, and then Joe Kelly iced it off and gave up two runs in extra innings. And speaking of that game, I don't know what was going on with Dave Roberts. I hated his bullpen approach in that game. Why would you pitch Kopech in the eighth, Phillips in the ninth? Why wouldn't you flip them and get these guys used to their roles? If Evan Phillips is going to be a setup guy, have him pitch the eighth and commit to Kopech as your closer. Don't be a bitch. Make it happen. These guys need comfortability. It's different in October because it's always an all hands on deck situation. And so guys need to be ready whenever unnoticed. But in the regular season, you've seen it with Kenley Jansen, Craig Kimbrell. Some of these guys, they just need to know their role. And a guy like Kopech is going to thrive in the ninth inning. So why would you throw off his game by pitching him in the eighth out of nowhere? Just made no sense to me. And then they go to Joe Kelly and it was stupid.
No, I'm with you. But what I've struggled to comprehend is where does Roberts' responsibility start and where does it end? And where does Andrew Friedman in the front office responsibility start and where does it end? They say that Roberts has the full authority during the games to make the decisions that he wants to, but part of me doesn't fully buy that. And part of me thinks that it's something that has been cooked up by all of them at once, right? The whole front office and the coaching staff, to where they're not going to say Kopech is our closer. They've done this closer by committee all season long. And so it seems like that's the strategy they're going with. So I don't know how much you can really blame it on Dave Roberts for pitching Kopech in the eighth and Phillips in the ninth if it's based on matchups, which is what they always do. I'm with you. I'm an old school guy. Like, you know how much I love a sacrifice bunt or a squeeze play or a hit and run. Like, I'm an old school guy. I am a full believer in having a guy knowing that he's got the ninth inning or wherever the save situation is. That's always been my favorite way to assemble a roster. And to me, that's something that I hope that the whole brain trust can kind of figure out is, yeah, okay, matchup. You know, Kopech has been the most dominant reliever for this Dodgers staff since he's been brought over. So to me, that is where I'm at too. I would rather have him have that defined role than not. But again, I don't really think that you can put all of it on Dave Roberts because I don't believe that he's making all of those decisions.
Maybe, and it could be the front office pulling the strings and they need to be held accountable then. And I'm sick of all this between the injuries and who's really running the show with these in-game decisions. I'm getting fed up with all these mysteries. In the NBA, it's transparent what's going on. In the NFL, we know what the hell is going on. But with the Dodgers, it's literally like a magic show with all these hidden card tricks and pulling rabbits out of your hat. Like, drives me nuts. I don't know if anyone here in the chat is going to this Dodgers Orioles game tonight, but besides it being Buehler versus Burns, have you seen this bobblehead, Jake, of Shohei Ohtani? People are already there at 10 a.m.
Oh, with decoy?
Yeah.
I think they're trying to get that gold one. Is there only one gold one?
I gotta imagine there's more than one.
Maybe, that, yeah. That'd be maybe a little... It's like a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory situation. Yeah,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. if he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I understand that, you know, and I have a pretty decent collection of bobbleheads. I'm sure you do as well, but I am not waiting in line for a bobblehead. I'm not waiting in line for a pair of shoes. I'm not waiting in line for an iPhone. I'm just not going to camp out and wait for something like that. I don't know. I'm not knocking anybody else that does that, but I can't see any upside or appeal to doing something like that. So good on you. If you want to get in line and get that bobblehead, that's great. But to me, it's like, I don't give a shit.
Well, people are committed. And if you were thinking about going to the game and you haven't bought the tickets yet, I've already looked and compared the prices. The best deals are on TickPick right now. Only $109 to get a seat and snag that Shohei Ohtani bobblehead. And I believe they are only giving it out to the first 40,000. So you better buy those tickets right now and make your way to the stadium, or else you're going to miss out, and that'd be disappointing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got the Yamamoto bobblehead. It looks pretty slick. Eventually, I'm going to do a giveaway on that. The other one I have.
I got the Teoscar one. That one's pretty cool.
That one looks pretty cool as well. NFL season's about to begin. And if you're a fan of your local team or you're looking to travel to see your team, you can get tickets on TickPick as well with no service fees at checkout. I was just in Las Vegas and it was Raiders alumni week. So I ran into all these former Raiders, but I had no idea who they were. But Allegiant Stadium's right across the street. So that was fun. I'm excited for this upcoming NFL season. Not very confident in the Rams, but I do think it will be a good season. I don't know if anyone has any NFL takes, if you want to throw them in the chat, or if you did, Jake.
NFL takes. I haven't really even gotten back into it yet, but I'm sure once the season starts, I will. I'm looking forward to the Rams season. I haven't really looked into why they traded Ernest Jones, but they obviously know more than me. So
from Craig Osterberg, who is your game one starter in the postseason?
If the postseason were to start today, it'd be Flaherty. I'm going with experience. I'm going with, you know, just him being a good pitcher. And to me, he's my number one starter over Gavin Stone right now. But to be honest, that's pretty bleak.
Nicholas Dugan, who was on the show last week. What's up, Nick? He uses TickPick and confirm it's cheaper than StubHub and Ticketmaster.
Love that.
I'm going to make Glasnow pitch game one. I don't care if he's been on the aisle. I don't care if his elbow's hurting a little bit. He's my game one starter. Running down with that ship. We'll make it happen.
Well, what if he's not of it? What if him and Yamamoto are not there?
Then I guess it's Jack Flaherty.
Right.
That would
So if Glasnow is available, then I'm obviously going to go Tyler Glasnow.
Also, I would have Bobby Miller start over Kershaw at this point. When we were talking about the Kershaw stuff.
Sure.
I didn't even really get to that, but just what I've seen from Bobby Miller in this most recent outing, I'll even take a chance on him over Kershaw. Like,
sure. It's sort of like you kind of hold your nose, right, and pick, or cover your eyes and pick. It's like, you don't feel good about it.
I'm just off of Kershaw at this point. I've seen enough. He's going to have his brilliant regular season starts, but the fact that his velocity is as low as it is, he won't throw the curveball a lot, which is his best pitch. It's only a 16% usage, but a fairly low batting average against. The fastball is just getting destroyed, and his slider is semi-effective, but not fully effective. I just don't want to go down this rabbit hole again. I can't handle it. I could not stomach it. I don't know if that means you have to leave Kershaw off the postseason roster altogether and just figure it out with other guys. I'm going to guess ultimately in the NLDS that it'll be 14 position players and 12 pitchers, but we'll discuss that more in about a month. So, Jake, is there anything else you wanted to cover real quick before the show concludes?
I really like Tommy Edman. I loved what I've seen from him. And I was a bit worried too when they traded for him because he hadn't played a single game this year for the Cardinals. But just watching him not only play multiple positions, again, I was at the previous Walker Buehler start against the Mariners. That was the final Jason Hayward game where he hit that massive home run in the eighth. And Tommy Edman made a play at shortstop that was just beautiful. I mean, it was a short hop in the hole. He dove for it and got to his feet and threw to first. And he plays a decent center field. He's got a ton of speed. And I think he can be a real pest for us in the playoffs. And I'm excited to see him kind of wreak havoc on the bases.
Edman's good. I like the ad. He's a little spark plug. I think that's it. I see Doom Sal asking us the starting lineup for the NLDS, but we get asked that every week, so I'm kind of tired of that question.
I feel like we should wait until, you know, we get into mid September or something like that to do that.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about the NLDS lineup next month, no doubt about it. All right, well, I think that's gonna conclude this episode. So thank you guys for all watching today, or if you're listening on the audio feed. If you haven't hit that like button yet, do so. If you're on the audio feed, hit that subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed the episode. And if you're watching on the YouTube feed after the fact on the live stream, drop a comment below and let us know your feelings on Will Smith. Or are you trusting Clayton Kershaw to start a postseason game? Those are some good topics, and I'll make sure to respond to those. So thank you all for listening. Kevin Klein and Jake Reiner signing out. And we'll see what happens. It's a big week for the Dodgers, so you'll hear from us soon.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.